We've been in a series for the last couple of weeks called Fresh Wind, and it's just been a series where we've talked about the Holy Spirit, and I've shared with you that I really feel that there's this fresh wind of the Holy Spirit that is blowing across not only the Rock, not only this body of believers, but I really believe there's a fresh wind of His Spirit blowing across the body of Christ. I have such a desire that us especially, we don't miss it, that we don't miss that fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about, and so I don't know about you, but I've so enjoyed this series. It's kind of funny when a pastor or a preacher gets to enjoy a series, and it's like, whoa, yes, you know, talk to me, you know. And I've really enjoyed this fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, even in my own life. And you know, we talked about that at the moment of salvation, if you have been saved, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, that at that moment, you're given the full measure of the Holy Spirit. And through this series, we've learned how this Holy Spirit is personal, that He is in us and walks with us. And wherever we go, He goes. And whatever we see, He sees. He is powerful, empowering you and me to begin to live out our faith and fulfill the purpose He has for us. And but I've talked about how some of us, I think we haven't understood the gift of the Holy Spirit, so we really haven't tapped into the power that's available to us. And it's as if the Holy Spirit lies dormant in many of believers' lives today, and He's really just waiting for His host, for you and for me, to give Him permission to begin to stir things up inside of us and begin to empower us and produce in us through the gift of the Holy Spirit the purpose that He has called us and created us to fulfill in our lives. Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit, gives each and every one of us a special spiritual gift. When we receive Him, He empowers us with what the Scripture calls a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is not just some little thing. It is a supernatural gift that God empowers in us for us to fulfill our purpose that He's called us to. And that's what I want to talk about today. Not only is the Holy Spirit powerful, and not only is He personal, but He wants to fulfill a purpose in your life and in my life. It's a supernatural gift. I don't know about you, but I've always loved superheroes growing up. I just love superheroes, and now into the new future of superheroes. I just love the movies and everything. So real quickly, why don't you just turn to your neighbor and tell them what your favorite superhero of all time is. Just kind of turn and whisper to them for about 10 seconds. My favorite superhero. The favorite one of all. And there's like 100 of them now, so. All righty. When I was growing up, my favorite superhero, of course, back in the 70s and 60s and 70s, was Superman. I mean, I just loved Superman. Put my little towel around my neck. How many Superman? Yeah. And we understand that that Superman receives his power from the Earth's yellow sun, right? That's where he was. How many of you said Spider-Man? Spider-Man, that's my favorite. Ooh, Spider-Man's going down. Spider-Man receives his power from where? The spider bite. Yeah, it is. Spider bite. He's got a spider bite. How about the Hulk? The Hulk. Anybody say the Hulk? We got one Hulk back there. I tell you, he's got issues probably. So we'll talk. We will talk later. The Hulk, you know, he gets his power from the gamma rays or whatever that was put on him, right? So listen, you and I, if you're a follower of Christ, you and I have a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit's spiritual gift inside of us that gives us this unique ability or talent or skill that God put there for a purpose, for a purpose. But I think some of us take that gift and we kind of bury it deep inside of us and we let the gift go unused. As I was watching Billy Graham's celebration of life, and then watching Barbara Bush celebrate. And you know, you hear that passage in Matthew 25 where Jesus is talking about the parable of the talents and talks about giving five to one and two to the other and one to the other. And you know, and then when the master comes back to collect, you know, the guy with five comes back and he invested his, he used his, and he had five more. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and now I'm going to give you greater things. Come and join in the happiness of your master, right? The guy that didn't invest his, the guy that didn't do something with his or use his, you know, he cast him out. And as I read, you know, we all love the well done, right? And I said, oh my goodness, I want to make sure that when I get to that place in my life that I can hear my Savior, my God say, well done, well done. That I haven't buried, you know, or kind of just unused the spiritual gift that he has supernaturally given me. And it reminds me of the story. I just read it a while back. In Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1957, they were excited about the growth that was going on in that city, and so they decided to do this contest where, you know, the contest was you had to guess the population, what the population would be in 50 years. In 2007, what would the population be? And as a prize for that, whoever won that, they were going to give you this 1957 Plymouth Belvedere. Yeah, and there they are, you know, they're introducing it right there in 1957. And so then what they did, they just they make it a time capsule. And so they created this concrete time capsule and put it in there, and they boasted about how there was no way anything would ever get into it. You know, and they put all kind of materials on it and sealed the car up with this special plastic stuff and everything. And they kind of lowered it into the ground and then put sod back over and a little plaque there. And so for over the next 50 years, people would walk by that in the courtyard there downtown Tulsa, and they would go, yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be amazing. And this is what the Belvedere looked like in real color. I didn't have color back there. Kind of show that next one. Yeah, I mean, it was beautiful. You know, pristine, never been driven. Well, 2007 finally came, and the winner was this guy named Raymond Hubbardson. He guessed 384,743, and the actual population in 2007 of Tulsa was 382, and so he was the winner, and they tried to look him up. Of course, he'd already passed away. Really, the only relatives living were his two sisters. And so they came, you know, to Tulsa. They were so excited, and they unearthed it and lift the top up. And it was encased and covered with 4 foot of water. Somehow in this, you know, sealed time capsule that all the engineers said nothing would get in, water got in. And it rusted it so bad that even the key that they left in the ignition was rusted into the ignition. It looks like this right here after they pulled it out. A rust bucket that cost more to try to get fixed than it was worth. And, you know, and I think about it. I know Herbertson, he would have loved to have the keys to that car in 1957, right? But being buried underground for 50 years didn't benefit Raymond, didn't benefit his sister, didn't really benefit anyone else, right? And I really believe the same is true, the same is true with our spiritual gift. I mean, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the potential of that gift in us waiting to be used and to become our purpose. Our purpose. But we have to put it to use. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so last week I asked you, do you have the Holy Spirit? You know, and if you have received God as your Lord and Savior, you've accepted Him into your life, have you experienced that mercy and grace and forgiveness? Well, you have the Holy Spirit, and the answer is yes. So then you have a spiritual gift. All of us have been, so to speak, been given the keys to a 1957 Plymouth, beautiful, flawless, undriven Belvedere. But the question is whether or not we will use it, or have we decided to put the keys in the ignition and really use it, or are we going to just bury it in a big hole? Listen, there's a difference in having a gift and using a gift. You know, it's the difference between potential and purpose. Begin to think about my favorite gift of all time. You know, I've had some great gifts, but one of my favorite gifts is this right here, my wedding ring. And Kim gave me this ring on our wedding day, way a long time ago, in 1983, almost 35 years ago. I've lost it twice along the way, and we've had a whole out man searched in order to find it, and we have been successful over the years in finding it when I've lost it, and so it's really special to me. But just for illustration's sake, what if I put this ring in my pocket, out in public, and you saw me do that, And you kind of go, what in the world are you doing? You know, or maybe even worse, what if Kim saw me do that? Put my ring in my pocket, you know, and, you know, what would she say? You know, what are you doing? And I would, you know, I say, hey, I don't mean we're not married. I mean, it's just in my pocket, right? I mean, I have the potential to put this ring on and use it whenever I need to. I just don't need to right now, so it's okay. What would she say? It's not. No, it's not. She would say, hey, I didn't give you that gift to be potentially used, right? I didn't give it to you for you to potentially need it sometime, you know. I gave it to you for a purpose. And that purpose is to be worn all the time as a reminder and as a symbol of the vows we made to one another on our wedding day. And she would say, put that thing on. Put that thing. And you ladies would stand behind her. Well, you're kind of, absolutely. Put that thing on, boy. Put that thing on. Right? Put that thing on. And it's the same with our spiritual gift. There's a big difference between potential and purpose. And so we need to give this gift that God has given us a purpose. A purpose. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The Holy Spirit has given us the gifts to be used, not buried underground or stuck in our pockets. He wants us to be stewards, good stewards of that gift, so that we can take this gift and use it and fulfill His purpose in our lives. Why don't we do that? Why don't we really use our gift that God has given? There's several reasons. Let me just share with you a couple or three. First one is, I think sometimes we don't know our gift, right? We don't know what that spiritual gift really that God has given us is. It's kind of like a Christmas present that's wrapped and sitting under a tree, and we know it's there, but we have no idea what it is, right? We have no idea what it is. And listen, you can know your gift. It's really easy. You can even go to our website, and on our website at rockworships.com, you can go up to the About little word up there and click on About. And then it pops up, and one of the areas is classes. Pick on classes, and it'll show our Rock 101, 201, 301 classes. Rock 101's today, and so that's kind of excited about just sharing who we are and what we believe in. Rock 201 is discovering your gift, your spiritual gift that God has given you. And at the bottom of that, you can go down there, and you can take a spiritual gift assessment. Just click on that. It takes you probably maybe 30 minutes to go through that, and it will share with you, by the way you answer those questions, what your spiritual gift is. And you'll have a couple of them there. And you know, if you're struggling with that still, you can ask your friends, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? But, you know, it's easy to discover and to learn your spiritual gift. I Googled spiritual gift assessment, and there's over 500,000 sites, free assessments that you can take. You know, it's like, wow, okay. You know, one of my favorite is the SHAPE assessment. Spiritual gift assessment, designed by Rick Warren and Saddleback and those guys, where it just takes your, you know, talks about, asks questions about your spiritual gift, your heart's passions, your abilities, your personality, your experience. That spells SHAPE, right? That spells SHAPE. And it kind of combines all those together so that you can know how God has gifted you and shaped you so that you can fulfill your purpose. Scripture gives us a list. Not, I don't think it's an exhaustive list, but there's a list of spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And there's others, apostleship, discernment, faithfulness, helps, knowledge, teaching. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on, but it's probably a mix of things you already have in your life. A mix of things you're already good at. Most gifts, I believe, are probably come out of your shape. You know, your spiritual gift, your passions, your abilities, your personality, your experience, it comes out of those, you know, those natural talents, those abilities that you have, and then it's developed for a ministry purpose by the Holy Spirit. And as believers, I think we need to learn how to apply our natural ability, our shape, toward a spiritual purpose. So you must discover your spiritual gift. The second reason I think we struggle with this so much is that not only do we not know our gift, but a lot of times we don't value our gift. Sometimes we think that there are certain gifts that are better or more valuable than others, and maybe we kind of elevated those other gifts like teaching or preaching, or and we go, wow, you know, that's amazing. You know, I don't really have that kind of gift. You know, I just have this little bitty kind of gift that's not, you know, it's kind of insignificant. You know, those gifts are important, we think. So we take our gift and we just kind of put it aside and we don't use it. And when we compare our gift with someone else's, we kind of devalue our gift, the gift that God has given us. 1 Corinthians, I love how Paul does this in chapter 12, verses 29. He says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And I think what Paul is saying is, yes, there's some really cool gifts, but these are not the most helpful gifts. The most helpful gifts are the practical ministry gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you and has given me. And when you begin to compare yourself to someone else and what God has given them instead of what God has given you, then you're not desiring what is most helpful. And Paul warns about comparing, you know, in 2 Corinthians 10:12, he says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves, compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. I love what Robert Madu says. He says, comparison will consistently cloud the clarity of God's call on your life. And I kind of wanted to talk about that because I do it. You know, and maybe you start. I mean, I know I compare. You know, you can go online and watch every great preacher that's out there today. Just you know, we have Right Now Media. You can watch, you know, and I go, wow, you know, Matt Chandler can, oh, he can preach. J.D. Greer's like awesome. I wish I could preach like him. And you know, and some of you are saying that we wish you could preach like him too. You know, but yeah, and so I compare. I have a you know, I've always wanted to be. You know, Kim's always played the piano and all that and singing, and I love to sing. And I've always wanted to be kind of a singing preacher. And so all those guys that can sing and preach, they're just like, oh, man, I got that gift. And so then I try it, and it's epic fail. You guys get to experience that. But that, you know, that comes out of comparing, you know, me struggling with comparing with somebody else. I got a friend that's this unbelievable leader. I mean, if he starts walking in a direction, like, you know, 10 people follow him, just like that. He just has that, you know. And I go, I'm a leader, you know. And no, you know, I got like Kim. That's it, you know. And then I take my ring off, and she goes, you know. So, you know, I had this buddy in Florida when I was at college, and he we would go out on campus, and he was trying to teach me how to share my faith. And I mean, he would walk up to anybody, anywhere, anyhow, and he'd just say, hey, my name is, and they go, can I pray to receive Christ? You know, it's almost like that quick. It's like, wow. And so I'd try it, you know, and I'm like, you know, it's like, no, man, it's like, you're so awkward, you know, you're so weird. And so, you know I struggle with that as well. And so we just have to get to that place where we go, hey, this is just who God has created me to be. And be confident in that. And begin to use your gifts, your ability, your shape for the purpose that he's called you to. Don't try to be somebody else. And I think another reason that we struggle with sometimes just burying our gifts or not using them is we don't exercise our gifts. We don't really begin to put them in practice and exercise. This is what I've learned over my life. You don't get fit. You don't get in shape by just having a gym membership. I mean, I know it's cool to have it on your key ring or whatever. You know, it's like, I'm a gym member. It's like, that don't get you in shape, right? Just owning a membership, you know, to get in shape, you got to show up every day, work out, do the basics, do the disciplines, right? You don't get in shape by just, you know, jogging every once in a while or getting on the, you know, you got to do it every day, a consistent discipline, get it, you know, to jog or to get on the treadmill or bike, you know, and be disciplined, working up a sweat and exercising regularly, right? And I mean, I hate gyms, and so it's a real struggle with me. I tried to get into them one time and began to think, okay, that's what I need to be kind of hooked to a gym or whatever, and got so focused on it when Kim and I went to Birmingham to see our boys when they were in school one time. I was so committed that morning I woke up early. I was going down to the hotel gym. You know, I was going, I'm committed to this, and I walk in there, and I don't know how to do any of those machines. You know, I mean, I can't figure them out, and so I'm kind of embarrassed, like two or three other guys in there, and I'm going like, should I ask him? No, that would be weak. It'd be very weak. Don't ask him. So I just get on the treadmill. Right? I can handle the treadmill. Never been on a treadmill in my life. I get on the treadmill. I can handle a treadmill. Get on the treadmill, and that thing's kind of like, and it gets faster and faster and faster, and I don't know what to do. So I just stop, and that's not a good thing when you stop if you're not holding on to the handle. So I was, bam, and I hit myself against the mirror behind me, you know, kind of fell down, and the guys are going, you need some help? And so I just, you know, I quit, right? I just quit that stuff. You won't ever catch me in one of those places. I just quit. And I think sometimes when it comes to our spiritual gift, I don't know if y'all can make these connections or not, but when it comes to the spiritual gifts, I think sometimes we just give up, right? We give up. When it comes to really using and exercising our spiritual gift, we take the assessment, maybe we discover the spiritual gift that we have, or, you know, whatever it is, mercy or helps or discernment, but then we don't know how to use the gift. We come to church and we see other people using their gift and go, wow, but we don't, you know, we're like, you know, why? Max Lucado says this when we begin to have questions like that. He says, questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine and we share our discoveries, when we mix, mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks. Christ speaks. Here's what I know. When it comes to using and exercising your spiritual gift, you just got to jump in. Just got to jump in like cannonball into serving God and serving others. And if you can't find your sweet spot at the beginning, just keep trying. Just keep trying. There's nothing wrong with experimenting with exercising those spiritual muscles. I think it's sometime like this in the church, or, you know, with believers. It's like sometimes like a cafeteria. You remember when you go to a cafeteria, you older people, when you had cafeteria at school, even the younger people, but not many of them eat anymore in the cafeteria. But when you go and they hand you the tray, and, you know, and they kind of slide it through to you. And I mean, the food's okay. I mean, but it's kind of mass produced. And, you know, it's not really good, you know, and it's like, oh, man. And we didn't have salad bars. We didn't have all that other kind of stuff you guys have. And so it fills you up, but it's not really enjoyable. I think sometimes that's the way we are here. You know, it's like, I don't know. Instead of being like dinner on the ground kind of food, right? I used to go to my grandma's church on whatever Sunday it was that they used to do dinner on the ground. I mean, it was like, all the relatives were there, you know, dinner on the ground. It was like awesome, you know. And it was so great because I had an uncle that was like a grill master, and he would bring the meat to this dinner on the ground. It was like, whoa, you know. And my grandma could make every vegetable taste like bacon. And so it was like, yes, it was awesome. And, you know, and my mom would fix her, you know, 2,000 vanilla wafer banana pudding, you know, and I just loved it. It was like, yes, everybody just brought their best, right? Everybody brings their best to the table. And that's what God calls us to do as His followers, as the church, to say, okay, I'm just going to jump in. I'm just going to bring my best. And we're going to get together, and we're going to talk, and we're going to, you know, we're going to serve, and we're going to work together, and just bring in our best. And if you don't know what your best is, you come and you say, hey, what is my best? And we learn together. We learn together. We learn together. I love Ephesians 2 in the Message. It says this. Paul says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. And here's what I love. You belong here with as much right to the name of Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He is using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what He is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quiet, just quiet at home, just quiet at home. Listen, God is building His kingdom, His home for all of His children. And He calls us to come alongside Him using our spiritual gift. And that's where our purpose begins to fit into his master plan. You know, you take 1 Corinthians 12 and you can go there and you can read that chapter, and it talks all about the spiritual gifts and how we all have, you know, different gifts and we need to use. I mean, listen, we can't do church unless you're a part and you're a part, and, you know, it kind of relates it to the body. And it needs all of us coming together to fulfill God's purpose for our life. And then when you turn the page to 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter is all about what? Love. Yeah, it's about one single word, love. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we need all of you, all your spiritual gifts, all, you know, the way God has shaped you. We need every one of you in order to make this work, in order to build the kingdom of God. But then he says in chapter 13, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It's really all about love. Our spiritual gift has a purpose to radically unleash love on as many of God's children as we possibly can. That's what he's called us to. To radically unleash love through the gift of the spiritual gift that we have on as many people as we can. That's our purpose. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives. To allow the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, you know, to come in and be personal with us and begin to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit and place his spiritual gift inside of us and empower us together with him and with each other to begin to live out the purpose that he's called us for, that he's created us for. Let me close with this Psalms. It's been a Psalms that's been on my heart for the last couple months. It's Psalm 16. I'll just read the verse 11. It says, the psalmist writes, you make known to me the path of life. That's what God wants to do. He wants to make known to us the path. You will fill me with your joy in your presence. And then I love this. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. At your right hand. And you can go through Psalms, and there's several passages of Psalms which talks about God's right hand. Just grabbing a hold of God's right hand. It's a symbol of power and of strength. And like, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. So my challenge for us, as we continue to step into God's purpose for our lives, as we continue to do everything that we can to make disciples, to share Jesus with people that come in contact with us throughout our week, to really help each other grow up in our relationship with God, my challenge for us is to do this, to take him by the hand. Take God by the hand. Choose every day to take him by the right hand. Every moment, let's recognize the choices to take him by the right hand in the little things. And then the little things become practice for the big things. And we walk hand in hand with God because his right hand is strong. He is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you and for you. And Rock, let me just say, you are so obedient to that. And you are so faithful. So let's just keep going, all right? Let's let this fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blow into us. And let's take God. Let's come together and take God by the hand and one another by the hand. And let's use our spiritual gifts to make disciples and to build his kingdom. Listen, don't miss it. Don't miss him. Let the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit empower us to keep going, to keep fulfilling the purpose he has called us to. Don't bury it. Don't put it in your pocket and just say, I got some potential here, and never use it. Allow his Holy Spirit wind to blow some wind into your sails, to say, okay, I am called by God to do this. Here's the purpose he's calling me to. And let's take God by the hand and each other by the hand and walk together using our shape, our spiritual gifts, to make a difference for him and for his kingdom. Amen? Let's do it. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you that you are present here in us through your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, even here in this moment, in this place, will you speak to us? Will you continue to draw us into relationship with you? God, I know that you are doing something different in this day, in this age, with this people. God, I really believe in my spirit that you are, that there is a fresh wind of your, O Holy Spirit, that is blowing and wanting to stir things up inside of each and every one of us, and to stir things up in your church and begin to empower us to really live out the purpose that you've called us and created us to. So, oh God, don't let us be afraid of your spirit, but let us receive you, O Holy Spirit, and give you permission to begin to change us and produce your fruit in us and use the supernatural spiritual gift that you have placed in us to make a difference for you, O God. But it begins with receiving you, God, as Lord and Savior. Begins by us saying yes to the Holy Spirit's drawing on our hearts. And so as we pray here this morning, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, you've never said yes, you've never said yes to the Holy Spirit of God calling you into a personal, forever relationship with Him, you've never received His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, and given your heart totally and completely to Him, today is that time. The Holy Spirit desires to be in relationship with you, and He is pulling you into that relationship. If that's you this morning, and you would say, listen, I've never done that, and today I want to do that. I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you just kind of just slip up your hand and say, Monty, that's me. I want to know my Lord. I want to know my Creator, in that very personal and intimate and forever way. Yeah, just lift it up and put it back down. Father, you know our hearts. Father, you are moving even in this moment through the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray for those who want to know you as Lord and Savior and as forgiver of their sins, Father, I just pray right now that you give them the courage just to pray to you and cry out to you. And right now to say, God, I believe that you are who you say you are. And I admit and acknowledge that I need a Savior. And so right now, in this moment, I believe that Jesus is your Son and He died on a cross to pay for my sins. And so the best I know how, right now, I commit and ask you to come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Begin to forgive me and change me to be the person you created me to be. If you've prayed that prayer, you can have the assurance that you are a child of God and that He wants to be in relationship with you, and now forever y'all walk hand in hand. God, for the rest of us here in this room that know you in that very personal way, God, will you give us the courage to give you permission, to give your Holy Spirit permission to begin to stir up things in our life, and begin to produce your fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That, God, we would begin to discover our spiritual gift and not only discover and learn what it is, Father, but be able to begin to be excited about it and begin to use it to build your kingdom, to make disciples, to grow in relationship with you. Oh God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, do your work even now. Even now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.